A very warm welcome to all those who are joining us for virtual worship today, coming to you from First Evangelical Lutheran Church in Poughkeepsie, New York. My name is Pastor Deborah Hoffner DeWinter. And we're gathering today on the 21st of June, 2020, which is the third Sunday after Pentecost. Let us pray. Less of me, Lord. More of thee. Less of me, Lord. More of thee. Amen. Did you hear that refrain in our gospel lesson for this morning? Three times over, we heard Matthew recalling how Jesus told his disciples not to be afraid. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known, verse 26. And on in verse 28, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. And then finally, that comforting verse 31. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. And then Jesus goes right on to mention all kinds of reasons why those same disciples are going to be feeling some fear as they leave the security of their comfort zones, their families, their friends, they're traveling with each other and literally following Jesus from place to place and absorbing his teachings. No more are they going to be like sheep in a safe sheepfold, watched over personally by the Good Shepherd. Rather, they are now to be more like sheep traveling out there among wolves, and some of those wolves they will encounter will even be in disguise. Fear is something many of us can relate to these days, isn't it? First and foremost, you and I and every human being on the entire planet Earth has had reason to be afraid of the coronavirus. We may have dodged the first round, but will the virus be coming back even stronger in the fall? We just don't know. As society begins to open up again, well, isn't it true that we're afraid of beginning to make choices that are available to us? I made a choice this week that should be obvious to you on camera today. I went into a salon and got my hair cut. And it was a pretty good experience, but I have to say it was pretty weird to walk into a salon, have my temperature taken, and then wear an N95 mask throughout the haircut in order to protect myself and those who were performing that brave service these days. Last week I received an email from one of my favorite venues in the area, regretfully informing loyal patrons that they just could no longer cover operating costs under these circumstances and would need to close at least temporarily. I understand that there was an outpouring of support that followed, but not enough to keep them going. I'm afraid that other favorite small businesses in our area will suffer a similar fate, and I know I'm not alone in that fear. And what about the fears of many of us are feeling in this community and around the country about the outpouring of frustration and pain and anger over the brutal deaths of so many people of color at the hands of white police officers. We may fear that the long-suppressed sin of racism has finally caused societal internal combustion. We may fear that it is almost too late to make up for all the inequities upon which this country was built. We may fear how hollow the words and liberty and justice for all are sounding these days, even in our own ears. What's been happening around this nation echoes the warning we hear in our gospel for today. For nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. A quote that might just as readily have spoken to the Me Too movement, which was just at its height when the coronavirus took over the news cycles back in March. So much fear looms on our horizons. Will our retirement savings be affected by the economic downturn? If so, by how much? Will we still have our jobs in another 6 months? Will the children be able to return to school in the fall, or will we have to endure the impossible dynamic of working virtually from home while monitoring online school lessons with our children and simultaneously caring for infants who can't go to daycare anymore? And if we do have to return to our offices, will they be safe? When do we dare return to routine medical appointments or proceed with important elective surgeries? And just when Poughkeepsie was experiencing an exciting urban development surge, will all that momentum be lost? Should we be braced for a terrible recession? Will our political landscape swing back to a healthier balance so that those in both political extremes can begin to meet halfway and collaborate on legislation? Oh, I hope so. Can we find some middle ground in working with our traditional allies while making positive inroads with those who have traditionally been our enemies? Could we take a step back, a deep breath, and think together again about God's call to care for creation? Consider how we can be better stewards of this beautiful planet for which we have no plan B. It seems like from the time of our births to our deaths, there is plenty to fear in this world. It's part of human nature to fear strangers. And sometimes, tragically, we even learn to fear those closest to us, with domestic violence and abuse consistently remaining the most prevalent form of violence all around the world. It's been documented. Corrupt political leaders have long used the power of fear to motivate conformity to their priorities and political agendas. And then we could talk for a long while about how it feels to send our children and our grandchildren off to participate in gun violence prevention and protection exercises in our schools. Our gospel lesson for today is one of those texts, I admit, in Scripture that most preachers, myself included, would just as soon skip over in favor of a text that brings comfort to us. Because this gospel disturbs us. It gives us pause. Really? Do we really want to read about Jesus as one who can destroy both soul and body in hell? Or the Jesus who is prepared to deny us before our Heavenly Father if we fail to acknowledge Jesus before others? I find verse 34 particularly fearful because it does not fit my picture of an all-loving, all-forgiving Jesus embodying unconditional love. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. So what's going on in this passage? What last words is Jesus trying to impress on his disciples as they prepare to go out on mission, representing God's kingdom values? Jesus knows that fear threatens the success of his disciples' mission out in the world where real wolves threaten his sheep. Faithful proclamation and practice of the gospel inevitably put Jesus' disciples on a collision course with the power of this world. At least that's what theologian Stanley Saunders reminds us. And therefore, Jesus is starkly realistic about the threats that we'll face at the same time he builds a case for why his disciples should not let their fears master them or hinder their witness. So it's all part of Jesus' preparation of the disciples for the real world. We learned in earlier readings that Jesus purposely even sends his disciples out equipped without the things of the world that most of us as travelers take with us to prepare for all contingencies. Instead, They're to travel light. Their dependence must be totally upon God. And Jesus squarely names what they may face. They may face arrests, physical abuse, rejection by family members, anger, hate, persecution. Jesus reinforces for them the importance of resisting their fears and reassures them that their ultimate security is in their relationship with Jesus and through Jesus with their Heavenly Father. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Then Jesus comforts his disciples by using that tender imagery of how deeply God cares for each of them, how attentive God is to their every need, how God is not anything like the powers of the world or of any of the forces of evil that threaten us and cause us to be afraid in this world. God is the one who counts every hair on our heads, the God who invests energy in ensuring that even the most common of the birds of the air, the common sparrow, is precious and safe. What we ought to be afraid of is getting it wrong, of contributing to anything that runs contrary to the values of God's realm. What we ought to be afraid of is finding our lives in the world, in other words, adopting societal norms and values that run contrary to gospel values, or failing to lose our lives for the sake of the cross. While political or societal powers may have the capacity to kill our bodies, God alone is the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Only God should be ultimately feared. Wow. That sort of sounds like hell and damnation preaching, doesn't it? Well, I think in many ways we are living in a kind of hell right now, aren't we? I began by listing off all the ways we live with multiple layers of fear in our world, in our nation, in our community, around the globe these days, ranging from the serious threats to our health, to the instability of our economy and financial security, our community infrastructures, our ecosystems, and the well-being of our children and their futures, together with all life on this fragile planet. To live in that kind of fear day by day, week by week, month by month, certainly is to live in a kind of hell, isn't it? So I guess I am preaching hell and damnation, but it is a hell of our own making. Jesus' mission for his disciples and for us today is to resist everything contrary to God's call to exercise mercy and love and healing and restoration. That can make for conflicts within our families, can't it? It may not make for peace in our relationships when we recognize that we may have loved ones who resist those kingdom values. Christian discipleship means that everything in our lives, everything else in our lives and in our identities is rendered secondary to God's prior claim on our identities and allegiance, even with respect to our own parents, spouses, children, friends, and employers. And that might mean that we will endure times when we experience with Christ humiliation and suffering and shame and opposition, even physical threat and death, as we stand up for what is right according to God's realm. So no, this isn't an easy gospel to hear. It's not an easy gospel to preach. I even went back through the years of my sermons to see, well, how did I do this in the past? And I recognized very quickly that I'd been a coward. I'd stayed away from it. I preached on the second lesson or on the Old Testament. I avoided this one, but this is it. This is my last chance in the pulpit to preach on this gospel, and it's tough. We're seeing that bold witness around this country today on the street of so many different cities and nations, people putting their lives on the line. Why? Because they are following gospel values and standing up for what's right according to the realm of God. justice, peace, equality, care for each other, seeing God's image in each other. That's what we're called to be in discipleship. And no, it's not easy. When we take up the cross of Christ, we identify with Jesus, who was willing to stand against the norms of society when they ran counter to God's way and truth and life. And I think we've reached a crossroads at this juncture in our life as a nation and in the relationships we have with other countries around the globe. I think the fears we are experiencing on so many levels stem from our inability to see the image of God in every other human being across the face of this planet, regardless of color, creed, country, gender, or orientation. I keep thinking about the cartoon somebody sent me early on when the coronavirus hit, the one that had the caption that said something like, "I think God is sending us for an important time out." During our spiritual time out from in-person worship, perhaps we can spend some quiet time reflecting more deeply on what it really means for us, for you and for me, in our everyday lives. When Jesus says to us, his disciples of today, "Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." Amen.